Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to jump right into it here. We had two major events on both sides of the state of Montana yesterday. I've got highlights from both that I want to share with you right here on Montana Talks. And then we've got the phone lines open for you so you can weigh in, you can react, or if you got something else you want to talk about, you can call in and talk about that. Phone lines are open. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. The number 406-294-0970. Let's jump into the first big news story here. Donald Trump Jr., alongside Alex Brusewicz and, of course, Governor Greg Gianforte, Navy SEAL veteran and GOP Senate candidate Tim Sheehy, and Western Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, all in the House in Missoula at the University of Montana's UC Ballroom for a big event Sunday afternoon. We've got some audio here, thanks to our friend Peter Christian with KGVO News out of Missoula. Of course, one of the big speakers, former Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy, an aerial firefighter who owns Bridger Aerospace in Belgrade. He called out Liberal Senator John Tester for basically saying one thing in Montana but doing yet another thing in Washington, D.C., and he especially called him out for supporting this radical transgender agenda.
It's about time we unify, stand up, and send him home, because what he's doing right now is he is rubber-stamping Joe Biden's agenda. We had a great VA secretary under Trump, Ronnie Jackson. He would have been a great VA secretary. Guess what? He was torpedoed by Tester directly. No other way to say it. We have Tracy Stone Manning now. Anybody remember that name? Running the Bureau of Land Management, the largest landowner in America, more control over public lands than anybody else, and hailed from, you know, her tree spiking band of misfits here in Missoula. Handpicked to run the BLM by John Tester.
And, of course, during her tenure at the BLM, she's giving perks to their buddies at the APR, which are trying to kick Montana ranchers off the land here in Montana. He also went after Tester for the open borders agenda.
John Tester is supporting open borders every single day. He voted against banning boys and girls sports. He voted against stopping to pay illegal immigrants to fly back and forth across our border. I can go on for an hour. Bottom line, he has to go. We have to retirement. It's up to Montana to determine control of the Senate. If you don't understand that this seat will determine whether we control the Senate for the next decade or not. That's how important this is. Every time we have a Senate tiebreak by Kamala Harris, who's the leading tiebreaker in the history of America, is due to one person, John Tester.
All right, that was Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. We've also got audio here from Donald Trump Jr. himself, where he talks about the significance of the upcoming November general election, basically that when it comes to the Senate race here in Montana, this is a once in 10-year opportunity that Montana has to save our country right now. So we'll get to the Don Jr. audio after this. Plus, I caught up with retired Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin at the General Michael Flynn movie event last night in Billings. So lots to come right after this.
Your calls live 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flynn.
All right. Most of you got a chance to hear General Michael Flynn. He was on this show live this past Thursday in the second half of our statewide show. And so it was really cool to catch up with General Michael Flynn. It's just outrageous the level of government targeting that took place to go after somebody who had served their country for 33 years. He was the head of the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, under Obama. Obama put him in charge of the DIA. But of course, because he refused to lie to Congress, that's when the Obama-Biden regime started targeting General Flynn. I watched the full, man, I tell you what, you guys know me, I got to get up early to get ready for the radio show here, but I stayed up later than usual last night. I watched the full Flynn movie, last night at Bethany Christian Church in Billings. That's where the Flynn movie event was at. That's where General Flynn was there himself, and it was powerful. And there were some key things that stood out to me. You know, one, here we are watching a tragic moment in history as he's showing footage from his tenure at the DIA and then showing his footage of him testifying on Capitol Hill and refusing to lie on behalf of the Obama administration and then getting basically told to resign shortly thereafter. And then seeing the targeting and the weaponization of government that went after him. Watching a tragic moment in history, but then realizing this isn't history. We are still living it. We are still living it right now. I mean, look at everything they're doing to Donald J. Trump. We are and other law-abiding citizens all across America. We are still living in this tragic history, which means we've got a chance to change history and take our country back this year. I'll get to some more highlights from the General Flynn event here in a few minutes. But Donald Trump Jr., he talked about this two-tiered justice system in America. You know, how it's been used against his father and, you know, this two-tier justice system. I mean, look at all these rioters on these college campuses that we're seeing all across America right now, even to this day.
If you burned down the city of Portland, that's fine. That was social justice. But if your grandmother was within 500 miles of D.C. and took offense, FBI's paying her a visit. Someone else took offense and got 17 years in jail. We're not living in a system of equal justice. And we're at a fulcrum point where if we don't fight back now to reclaim all of the values and all the freedoms that we've lost in this country right now, you ain't getting them back. So thank you.
That was Donald Trump Jr. in the UC Ballroom on the University of Montana campus for that MACPAC fundraising event yesterday. He also had this to say when it comes to Joe Biden and John Tester supporting the radical transgender agenda and more.
This is the world in which we live right now. That stuff's happening on a college campus. And as the father of five kids, two girls, two of whom happen to be incredible athletes, we're still having like real debates. And people like John Tester are voting to allow men to participate in women's sports.
And to enter their locker rooms, of course. 406-294-0970, the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on Montana Talks or you want to jump in on the conversation. Of course, the radical pro-Hamas protesters were also out on the UM campus yesterday. How shameful is that? How shameful is that? There they were. They had their face masks on. They had their black and white checkered kaffiyas, which somebody said it. They said this is like the new Che Guevara T-shirt for these woke radical leftists on these college campuses. Anyway, let's go into the phone lines. We've got Francis in Big Fork. Francis, good to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I think these women that are protesting for Palestine should wear their burqas, don't you? And wear all the black garbs that it showed and follow behind the men. And
that's right, several paces behind.
That would be a good idea.
Well, that's who they're protesting on behalf of, right? I mean, they didn't show up on the UM campus to protest what the terrorists in Tehran are doing to women. Women that aren't properly covering themselves, that are being raped and kidnapped off the streets by the Iranian government, the same Iranian government that Joe Biden and John Tester are allowing access billions of dollars in oil. But, yeah, they don't want to protest that U.S. government decision, do they?
No, of course not. And, you know, they've shot some women because they didn't cover themselves properly.
Of course, yeah. It kidnapped them off the streets, raped them, thrown them into prison for not covering their faces properly, not covering their heads properly. And yet here are these, like you say, liberal women on the University of Montana campus. Well, they partially have their faces covered. So they're
yeah, but they're not wearing the burqas. That's what they should be wearing.
Not yet.
Next time, if I ever see any, I will tell them that.
Yeah. Well, give them time. Give them time. You'll, that'll be the next virtue signaling thing. You know, the face mask is part, you know, just a partial burqa, just a limited. They're going to go full-blown virtue signaling here in no time, right?
Yes. Well, if you let them take control of our country, which they are pretty well, they're trying to do. And, you know, you notice Obama doesn't say anything against them or Biden. They think it's great.
Well, he'll try to play both sides, which is absurd because the Jewish students aren't out there stabbing Palestinians in the eye with flagpoles. They aren't calling for the death of all these Muslims or anybody who protests on their behalf. But I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But then just listen to these guys. I mean, just listen to these college professors even on the Emory campus. Yeah, there's lots of bleeping that's occurring here. Anyway, I'll cue it up to the spot. This one professor starts fighting the police officers and then cries out, "I'm a professor."
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I have to use a term that many people, I just have learned it like a year ago. Avaricious corruption. So avaricious is the whole complete subsuming of an individual where everything they do is corrupt. They have yet to be held to account. No one has held them to account. And because no one has held them to account, I have to look at myself in the mirror and guarantee that they're held to account. And hopefully that motivates others to do that. And General Flynn is obviously at the forefront of making sure that they're held to account, right? We need to essentially circumvent the censorship industrial complex that these people created to cover up for that original transgression of going after Flynn that he was going to uncover, the illegal spying, right? And then the subsequent escalatory cover-up since then. Well, guess what? There's enough of us that never bended, that were critical thinkers from the beginning. And while the attack pieces that you see on General Flynn and myself and others, it's coming from these guys.
All right. That was retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin. I had actually met him several years ago during my military service, and so it was good to catch up with him. But, yeah, he is taking part in the Flynn movie bus tour that's crisscrossing America that was in Billings yesterday. We're going to hear more from him a little bit later on this hour of the show. But first, I want to get back to your phone calls. I went to that last commercial break. This was an economics professor at Emory University. She was, you know, taking part in these pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic protests. She gets violent with police. And then when she's getting arrested, she cries, "I'm a professor," as if they're going to be like, "Oh, okay." You know, she's out here taking part in these anti-Semitic protests. She's getting violent. She's breaking the law. But, "Oh, you're a professor. Okay, I guess we'll just let you go then."
Oh, my God. You people are fascists. You are Hitler. You are happy dogs. Shame on you. May you never live another day.
I am a professor.
This is an Emory professor, everyone.
I am a professor.
Hit a cop.
I am a professor of economics. Oh, and then that other dude in the background, here they go. They always do this. They scream at you. They call for your death. They chant death to America. They chant death to Israel. They call for the death of the Jews. But then they call you a fascist. And by the way, the guy, the ringleader of this pro-Hamas protest on the University of Montana campus yesterday, it won't surprise you. Let's just say he is the middle-aged, woke, entitled son of a University of Montana professor. So big surprise, you had a very well-paid, entitled liberal professor at the University of Montana, and his entitled middle-aged kid is the one who led these pro-Hamas protests at the University of Montana campus yesterday, where he called Donald Trump Jr. and all of the other folks gathered there fascists. But yet he's the one standing up for the radical Islamists in control of the Gaza Strip. He's the one bashing Israel. They're the ones that are still wearing their "shut up and wear your mask" face masks. Who's the fascist? Let's go to Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. And we got phone lines open for you as well. 294-0970. Rock, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I want to, I'm sure Ken from Great Falls is listening. I want to call him out on his you know, he last week, last Friday, he was definitely pro-Hamas, for sure. And who attacked who? Who started this whole thing? You know, he was crying about how many civilians have been killed. Well, 80% of them vote for Hamas. I'm sure a lot of those people are intimidated to vote for them because that's the kind of regime you've got there. But who attacked who? I mean, so who started this whole thing? It's like World War II. Who attacked who? The Japanese attacked us. The consequences of that were devastating on both sides. So who attacked who, Ken? Who attacked who?
Well, and isn't it interesting, too, Rock, that the very people who claim to be for peace now, no, they just don't want you to eliminate the terrorists, like you say, who started this, who slaughtered 1,400 innocent people, including babies, and gunned down entire families. Oh, now all of a sudden they care about what's going on in the Middle East. Now all of a sudden they care about peace. They didn't care about the Middle East when many more Muslims were being killed by their fellow Muslims. But now they care about so-called peace in the Middle East. They don't care about, just like Francis and Big Fork pointed out, they don't care about peace for women in Tehran. They don't do campus protests in support of them. But all of a sudden, when the terrorists are getting slaughtered by Israel, like they should be getting slaughtered by Israel, now all of a sudden they claim to want peace. All right, I think Rock already took off. He made his point and said his piece. All right, Rock, good to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. By the way, I had a great message here. Where did I put it? This came in on our Montana Talks app. This came in from Paul in Billings. he heard that soundbite. I'm an economics professor. He says, it's time for what Rush called a twin spin. The University of Florida student who famously pled with campus police, don't tase me, bro, in 2007 at a John Kerry event, has a lot in common with the Emory University professor who also pled with campus police, shouting, I'm a professor of economics. I would love to hear those two sound bites back to back. That's hilarious. Yeah. Don't tase me, bro. I'm a professor. Oh, man, you could have some fun with that all day long, couldn't you? All right, 294-0970, the number for you. Let's go to Jim in Helena, listening to KCAP. Jim, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. I've been listening to the radio. We don't get TV, but I haven't watched any of this protest that have been going on. I've just been listening to the radio. But I've been wondering, how many of these students that are doing this protesting on these campuses have had their loans forgiven?
Well, they'd probably be the former students, but yeah, because there's non-students that are taking part too. But that's a great point. Yeah, and
I understand what you're saying, but there's got to be some that we've forgiven their loans that now are out there protesting against us.
And they're on their 12th year of grad school, right?
Yeah. Professional students.
Exactly. And then I also wonder, and how many people are also getting money from this government program or that government program? So Fox News has confirmed that George Soros and let me see where I got. Who's paying for the protests? So the student-funded student groups, you know, sometimes they force you to pay student fees when you go to these college campuses, and then these left-wing student organizations divvy out your fees that they force you to pay. So think about it. If you're a Jewish student on a college campus, they force you to pay fees. They then divvy up where those fees get allocated. They give your student fees to these student groups. So basically, the Jewish students are being forced to fund the very organizations that are calling for the death of Jewish students. And then you've got George Soros and the Rockefeller family that are also funding these anti-Semitic protest rioters.
Very sad. Very sad where we are right now today in this country. I'm just shocked. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. That's the paranormal circus, as we've been referring to. All right, Jim, thanks for listening to KCAP. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Wayne in Kalispell. Wayne, how you doing?
Good, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. Also, thanks for your service. I only had a question about the Supreme Court justices that we'll be voting on and how we find out backgrounds on prospective judges. If you have a site, or I think your screener said Montana Families.
Yeah, the Montana Family Foundation, they kind of follow the money to show where these judge candidates have contributed politically in the past, so that can kind of give you an indication. For the Supreme Court justices, Dan Wilson, Judge Dan Wilson, and then Broadwater County Attorney Corey Swanson are two incredible candidates there that'll bring fairness back to the court, in my opinion. But yeah, for district courts, it's really to know anything about these judges. And that's one of the, aside from the Senate race here, that's the other, very important races that are taking place are these judicial races and Supreme Court races, because they're abusing their positions of power to push their own personal agendas.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people complain about the executive orders from the president, but these judges who, in a lot of cases, are unelected, are making decisions for people who have no idea, it's just very frustrating where our country has gone. I was born in 1950, and over the last 70 years, it's criminal what's happened to this country.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Case in point, one of the left-wing candidates for the Montana Supreme Court named Jerry Lynch, in a profile about him by the Montana Free Press, he says this, quote, "The judiciary is the last bastion against a supermajority, so to speak. And you know what I'm talking about." Basically, this guy Lynch is openly admitting that he wants the Montana Supreme Court to be a lynch mob going against we the people and rejecting anything they don't like because of their own personal political agenda.
Yeah, between them and special interests, the voters really don't have the control that we should.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks, Aaron, for everything you do. I'll let you get to some more intelligent callers and
well,
keep it up.
That's why I like to take phone calls, because the callers, they got me beat every day of the week. That's for sure. All right.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
All right.
Take care.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much for calling in. Wayne, great to hear from you. That's a new line. I'm going to use that line a little bit more. The left and their lynch mob on the Montana Supreme Court. That's what Lynch wants it to be. He wants it to continue to be a lynch mob, shooting down anything they don't like. Stand up to the lynch mob in the midst and, support, fair justices like Corey Swanson, a fellow veteran, and Judge Dan Wilson, who stood up to the lynch mob trying to shut down businesses.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
As more cases of avian influenza appear in dairy cattle across the nation, concerning news for beef cattle producers, as Colombia is implementing restrictions on the import of beef and beef products from certain U.S. states where dairy cows have tested positive. Those states include Colorado, Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas. While no U.S. beef cattle have tested positive for bird flu, the South American nation is the sole country to officially impose restrictions on U.S. beef exports due to H5N1. The U.S. Meat Export Federation views the import restrictions as lacking scientific basis and impactful for exporters doing business in Colombia and their customers. U.S. health officials are engaging with the country and other trading partners who have requested additional information on the U.S. government's epidemiology to mitigate trade impacts. USDA is requiring testing of milk for lactating dairy cattle before interstate movement. Canadian officials have also asked USDA to conduct the same test for dairy cattle entering Canada from the United States. USDA's chief veterinary officer, Rosemary Sifford, stated that they are also providing information to assist all trading partners upon request, although specific partners have not been disclosed in keeping them up to speed on bird flu in the U.S. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. I could keep playing that. I'm a professor. I'm a professor. Why didn't she shriek out democracy while she's at it? I'm a professor. Democracy. The shrieking, shrilling Where was her pink hat? Come on. You know, if you're going to play the part here. But, man, that's just so hysterical. I'm a professor. Yeah, good for you. Get in the back of the patrol car, lady. You nut job. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Shane in Malta listening to KMMR. What's going on, Shane?
I just want to tell you guys how good a job you do. I don't have TV, so I get a lot of my news through you guys. But when all these people that are protesting and supporting Hamas, I don't know if there was is any way to hold them accountable, but they're holding the hostages just as well as Hamas is holding the hostages. It's their support that keeps them hostages held.
That's a really good point.
Suffering, I would guess suffering.
Oh, you can't imagine the pain and suffering those hostages are. What are there still close to 100 people still being held hostage, including American citizens?
130 is what I last heard.
And you're exactly right. These people are providing cover fire for the Hamas terrorists. They are they are literally emboldening terrorists, and they are enabling terrorists that are still holding hostages. And yet they did this entitled woke liberal professor's middle-aged son in Missoula, did he say anything about the hostages? I mean, one way that those people could be held accountable is when they're interviewed by outlets like the Missoulian. Throw some tough questions at these people. Why don't they get face tough questions for their anti-Semitism and more, right?
Yep. Them they should be questioned very toughly every time, right along with Tester on everything that he does.
Yeah, and they never question Tester in a tough manner. Luckily there was a gentleman who showed up to counter protest these folks on the UM campus, and the Missoulian did include a quote from John Murphy, and he called these people out. He said, it's a shame that these kids are so uneducated and brainwashed that they don't know what they're standing for. I feel sorry for them and their parents and for the future of America if this is what's going to happen.
I agree.
Yeah. Shane, thanks for
the call. All right, that's all I have to say. Thank you. I
appreciate it. No, great point. Great reminder there. Thanks for calling in. And by the way, since we're talking about this entitled professor's son, let me tell you about a great professor on the University of Montana campus who could set every one of these kids straight. They should be taking his classes if they aren't. But Dr. Mehrdad Kia, we've had him on this show a number of times. He is remarkable. He's incredible. He knows the issues, and he would put these guys in their place very quickly if they want to listen. But I don't even think they want to listen. I think they, you know, they're on to, you know, it was George Floyd and the BLM riots of 2020 and protests. And then it was, you know, boys and girls sports. And now it's pro-Hamas terrorists. They go from one protest to the next protest. And wasn't that interesting? We had that caller from Great Falls, Rory with Bleeding Soldiers. And Rory made a point. He's like, you know, we've done countless protests in front of Senator John Tester's office, and we never get media coverage. But yet these other folks protest all this other stuff. They always get media coverage. In fact, I just saw a story by one of the TV stations. The circus in Billings was being protested by these radical animal rights activists. They did a story about the animal rights activists protesting the circus. But yet Rory and his veterans in Great Falls don't get coverage when they do a protest in front of Tester's office. Why ask why? Try Bud Dry was the old ad, right? All right, let's see. 406-294-09. Do they even have Bud Dry anymore? I don't know. I know Bud Light took a whack, that's for sure. Let's see. Next up, let's go to Shay in Saskatchewan. Shay, let's see, line three. Shay, great to hear from you. And by the way, great to see you in Scobie a while back.
Yeah, that was great. Long as you brought that up, I'd actually encourage anybody that's listening, when there's an event to attend that's close, you probably should go, because the stuff you learn and the people you meet is well worth it.
Were you able to make it to the dinner that night? I know you were worried about getting back across the border in time with the family and everything, but were you able to make it to that dinner?
Yeah, I never did make that. It was just kind of too much stuff going on at home. We had to go home.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was great to see you there. Well, hey, what's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, so I've been hearing, like, especially in the United States, there's a lot of talk about the electronic ear tags for cattle. They're talking and wanting to push on the Americans. And there's kind of a situation that come up in Canada, and I kind of have a gut feeling it might be related. But they've been digging massive cow graves. They've just kind of finished one in a town called Wawota, and they figure it to fit about over a million carcasses. But the interesting thing on the news articles is it's not for diseased carcasses. It's for an emergency mass call. So I don't know what could warrant a mass call besides a disease.
Well, I know what would in Canada right now. I think you know where I'm going, right? I think this is what you're...
Yeah.
So, well, you got to send me a link to that article. That's crazy because, well, I mean, look at their climate alarmists that are running Canada right now. I mean, we've got them running America, too, right now. But why would they dig a mass cow grave if not for diseased cattle?
Yeah, that'd be half the cows in our province. And there's rumors about four others. But it is kind of interesting. There was somebody shared another news article from the WHO when it said massive calling is needed to stop climate change. So
it sounds
the
crazy.
Same language.
Now, if you would have called in 10 or 20 years ago, people would have been like, oh, come on, Shay, that's crazy. Now people are like, would it surprise you in the least? Because look at what they're doing with the carbon tax they're pushing up there. And they're still forcing you to pay for it one way or another, whether it's paid for locally through this or that. They're still forcing this carbon tax. They need to shut you down. They need to shut down ranching and cattle operations in the name of their climate alarmist agenda.
Yeah, they sure are. And, yeah,
they should probably use it to put politicians in.
Yeah, that shit was.
That's great. That's great. You guys are probably checking on cows right now, huh?
Yeah, we sure are. And, like, with this thing, I'm just having visions of that movie In Pursuit of Honor. I can only imagine that's what they had dreamed up for this. But
hey, did you guys deliver those pizzas to the Border Patrol guys for us?
Yes, but I don't think they want us talking about that.
Okay, we'll keep that one quiet. We'll keep that one quiet. That was just a thanks for your service. Here's some pizza deal. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what rodeo are you off to next, Shay?
Oh, probably not too much till June.
Yeah, got work to do till then. All right. Well, Shay, great to hear from you, and great to hear from your dad in the background there as well. All right. Maybe we'll see him cross the border sometime soon. All right. That was great. All right. 406-294-0970. Jerry in Hamilton. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning. Great show this morning. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
We were trained. I'm a 20-year Army veteran, and we were trained to come up with solutions, so I have one. These protesters and stuff support the Hamas and stuff so bad. Let's put them on C-130s. Let's load up C-130s and let's take them there.
Yeah, if we can fly illegal aliens all across America, we can fly Zoe Zephyr and crew to Gaza.
That's right. And these professors can teach classes on the flight over there to the students on the flight over. So I tell you what, you start loading them up, take them over there. You watch how fast they start running back to mommy and daddy's basement. but seriously, it's gonna take someone like Trump and Xi and stuff to get in and stop the funding to these colleges and start firing some of these professors and get their acts back together. But that's my point. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, the rot is deep. I mean, the rot is deep right now with the weaponization of government and on these college campuses. No, you're exactly right. All right. Hey, appreciate the phone call, Jerry. Thanks for calling in. Next up, let's go to Les in the Paradise Valley. Les, what's going on?
Yeah, hi, Aaron. Enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we're into the fourth year of the Biden administration, and I watch the news pretty carefully, and I listen to you and Bongino and all the other guys, and I have yet in all this time heard anybody, journalist or Fox or anybody, ask the president or Harris or KGB or whatever her name is, and Clinton or Austin or any of those people, when are you going to stop blaming Trump and the previous administration for every cotton picking thing going wrong? in this country and world right now. It's just amazing that nobody's asking that question. When is it going to stop?
Yeah.
Every single day. Well, it's Trump's fault. It's the previous administration. Like, inflation's this and crime's up this and the border's this and it was this when we took over and blah, blah, blah.
Yep. 3 years later, they're still blaming Trump. Oh yeah, and climate change. You got to blame everything on climate change, too. Great point, Les. Thanks for the call.
Yo. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I missed that. So I got a message from Rebecca in Bozeman. She says, I didn't hear it earlier, but when you just played it a few minutes ago, when the lady says, I'm a professor, and the person kept saying it, she said this, you can hear the cop in the background say, I'm a cop. I totally missed that part. So thanks for pointing that out, Rebecca. Now I got to go back and watch that via x.com/Aaron Flint one more time. All right, let's sneak in at least one more caller, and then I want to play some audio of my conversation with Ivan Raiklin, retired Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret, at the General Flynn event last night in Billings. First, let's go to John in Kalispell. John, what's going on?
Oh, not much. How are you doing, Aaron?
Hey, doing good. Doing good.
Excellent. Hey, I just wanted to express we need to have a lot more information about who is actually funding these pro-Hamas movements in the country. Because if you go back to every 4 years now, what's going to happen in these elections for president is you're going to have third-party organizations such as George Soros and the hardcore left that are going to be funding these individuals to go out and start doing protests and putting certain information out there that is anti-American, it is anti-freedom, and they're trying to gen up opposition as best as possible in order to change our nation. They did it with BLM. They're doing it now with this pro-Hamas, and it always happens during the presidential elections, which I think is very, very odd, and it is strategic.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's just like they had their, you know, Summer of Love, George Floyd riots, and they were occupying portions of Seattle, and those rioters were well-funded by these left-wing special interests. We're seeing the same thing. Just like the Keystone XL pipeline and the DAPL protests were funded by these left-wing extremist groups, AstroTurf left-wing groups that are fueling this hatred and violence in America. All right, caught up with Lieutenant Colonel retired Ivan Raiklin. He's a Green Beret veteran, and it was kind of cool because I won't play the full audio because we're getting really short on time here. Maybe I'll play more for you tomorrow on the show. I'll have the full audio on our Montana Talks website, but he is standing up to this weaponization of government. He's a Green Beret veteran, retired Lieutenant Colonel. I actually met him, probably like 12 years ago. We were at a Special Forces Group Commanders Conference, and so I got to meet him. And so it was kind of cool running into him at this General Flynn event yesterday. He made the point that when you look at the weaponization of government, the spy operation against President Trump, it started with General Michael Flynn. And he also tells us the reason why they started with General Flynn.
The first target of that entire weaponization in this kind of current modern historical arc of history of the senior leadership of both political parties and the entire national security ecosystem, their first target was their number one existential threat, which was General Flynn. Because when you look at it and you back up and you see in July 2016, and this wall kind of talks about it, I'm not going to go into too much details because we're going to do a short little interview. This wall that you're going to see when you go and visit the watch the movie in person, Michael Flynn Jr. and myself go into about an hour-long discussion of how from 2010 to 2020, well, technically 2012 to 2023 and beyond, the key individuals within both political parties, major political parties in the United States, the CIA, the FBI, all worked in some way, shape, or form, either in parallel or in coordination with each other to take out the one individual that was in the trusted inner circle of Donald Trump, the only one that was going to be able to expose the rot, corruption, fraud, waste, and abuse, and the illegal activity with the spying on the Trump campaign through Crossfire Hurricane. That person would have been General Flynn. They had to remove him because if all these guys...
He knew what was behind the curtain, so they had to take him out of the way, right?
He knew where the bodies were buried. He knew who buried the bodies. And if he didn't know, he had an entire network and ecosystem and 33 years of knowledge of the system, along with others, to go ahead and find out immediately who buried the bodies, how they buried them, and what consequences should be afforded to each one of those
individuals. That's why they had to take him out before they could start targeting everybody
else.
Because
Trump had no one else that could cover his blind side. Because let's face it, Donald Trump, a businessman, a successful billionaire businessman, and you know, TV celebrity from New York. He had no understanding, real understanding at the time of the how DC worked. Who did? The former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the former assistant director of national intelligence for partner engagements at the director of national at ODNI, Office of the Director for National Intelligence. In that position, he coordinated all intelligence and law enforcement for the protection of the United States under the Constitution between local, state, federal, tribal, and international partners. You don't think he knew a thing or two about the system? He knew more about the system than anybody previous or current going into that administration.
How do you describe this? I don't know what you'd call it, like a link analysis chart. I mean,
this is the general
veteran terminology here. How do you describe this wall behind us?
Yeah, so the wall behind is 40 feet. If you want the master class, it would take 40 hours.
All right, anyway, yeah, there was a 40-foot wall showing this whole link analysis of the weaponization against government, targeting Flynn, targeting Trump, and look at everything that's happened to America since that point. All right, sorry we ran out of time. That full audio will be on our Montana Talks website here later today. We'll get to more of your phone calls tomorrow on the show. By the way, General Flynn is in Rapid City, South Dakota tonight, and Fargo tomorrow.